Don't slip on the ice like I did. Be careful out there. I am very excited to meet someone for the first time, listened to him, watched him play, and since I am a lifelong Sox fan, we have DJ Darren Jackson in the studio. And Ed, you're sticking around too?
I never left.
Ed's been here since yesterday, Wendy. He will not leave.
Everybody talk to donuts, I'm staying, Wendy. Come on, you know that.
Darren, you played for the Cubs and you played for the White Sox at different times. You're good, but you can't play for both teams at the same time. That's impossible. What's the difference between being a White Sox player and a Cub player?
I look at it this way. I started on one side of town and finished on the right side of town. So, the truth is, I loved being drafted by the Cubs. That was an amazing place to start my career. It actually set me up, to be honest with you, because of the following the Cubs had.
Yeah.
I didn't know any different. I thought every team had that kind of following. I got traded to San Diego. When I got there, I go, where are all the fans?
Right.
How come when we get off the bus, there's not fans waiting for us in this city and that city? Only to find out when I went to the team after that, it was the same way with them. I go, okay, obviously it's a Cubs thing. Okay. So, they got the national following. It was great. But coming over to the White Sox, it's funny because I realized it was serious baseball.
Yeah.
And the fans were, hey, we're in it, but we're in it. You guys got to give us the right effort. It was two different sides of this town, that's for sure. More of an entertainment factor compared to, hey, we're business here.
Right.
And I'm happy where I am, especially since I chose to be back to the White Sox at the end of my career.
Yes.
And that's where I wanted to finish, and it's worked out pretty well.
What breaks my heart, I mean, you are usually what your parents or grandparents are. My grandfather used to sit there with his little black and white TV with the coat hanger for an antenna, and UHF, he would watch the White Sox games. What is it that Sox fans, like myself, why don't we fill up the park? What's going on? What can I do to help? Please. Ed.
Oh, you want me to take this one?
The more cerebral questions.
Darren's out quicker than I thought.
I answer for that one with no problem.
Ed, go back to your history as a kid watching the White Sox. Here we go.
Yep.
No, it just breaks my heart because you go to a game. I love it because my kids are older. They're teenagers now. But bring in a family there. What a great atmosphere. How can we get the word out that that's the place to be? All right.
I think we're doing that right now. You're doing a good job. Keep going. Okay, just keep going, Wendy, please.
All right. I guess to defray this, maybe DJ could sing a little something. You sing in the booth with that all the time, and highly entertained.
Well,
Blue Bayou was my favorite.
Choruses.
I only do that when Ed's prodding me with the cattle prodder there. I mean, other than that, I wouldn't dare. It is radio. There's supposed to be music and singing.
We crossed that bridge.
This is a dream job, isn't it, for both of you, to go in every day, to not only be able to watch baseball, but convey the message to the fans. That's a dream job, right?
We're going to take you away from your everyday life in some aspect.
We're
going to give you White Sox baseball. If we're not playing good, he and I will go to a different tangent to get the point across.
Yep.
But we certainly want you at the ballpark, and we want tuned to WGN Radio. If you're not on the radio, then watch us on TV, on WGN TV.
Yep.
That's what we want to do.
Beautiful. Well said.
You know, last night we had White Sox events going on across the town here, and I came across a fan, and he said he loves listening to Ed and I, which was a great compliment. He said, but, you know, the thing that's most interesting is when there's a game that's kind of out of hand now, but you and Ed take it to another level with the entertainment, and that's when it's really fun. And that's good to hear, because I looked at him, I said, well, that's the whole point for us is – baseball is baseball. That's great. And when there's a good game, we're giving you the game. But at the same time, when it gets out of hand, you're losing 11-1 in the third inning. How are we going to keep the listeners going? Well, it becomes the Ed and Darren show. We have fun. We talk about some other things. And why else would you want to listen if it's just there's a ground ball to short? So
is
we take it a different direction.
Is the mindset different if the White Sox are up 11-1 or if they're down 11-1? Does that play into the game set a little bit for you guys of what to present?
You're going to know it when we're losing.
Yeah.
Both of us are not happy to lose.
Yeah, you can tell.
Well, not good losers.
Wendy, you just said it. I have had a lot of people say they can turn the radio on and hear Ed's voice and know if we're winning or losing.
Exactly.
Simple as that. I mean, so he's giving you the influx of, oh, man.
I hate losing.
Or we're going, hey, you know, so... You get it right away. He doesn't even have to give the score. It's like, hey, they're losing. I'm changing the channel. I don't know what people are doing, but that they know immediately.
It comes from my days of listening, to Bob Elson doing the games when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And he goes through the lineage. Now, there was a ball that was hit. I don't care about that. Is the guy out? That's all I want to know.
Yeah.
And hopefully this year we'll get a lot more outs than we did last year in key situations.
We asked Ed this question yesterday, Darren, but who was the influence on you as a broadcaster, not as a player? Ed said Vin Scully, the great Vin Scully. Did you have somebody like that that served as kind of an inspiration for you?
Well, I didn't realize I was going to be in this position to be a broadcaster first and foremost, but yeah. I grew up with Vin Scully and Chick Kern out in Los Angeles doing basketball for the Lakers and Vin doing Dodgers baseball. So it was a great environment to listen to games being called. But, you know, I was fortunate because when I did come up through the system with the Cubs, I also had Jimmy Pearsall around me. Mm-hmm. And Jimmy Pearsall was my outfield instructor, and he was also a broadcaster. Mm-hmm. It was all these things in Chicago. And he was a big influence on me because I followed the same path. And when I first saw him, when I changed over from the field to the broadcast booth, the first thing he said to me when I saw him down in Arizona was, be yourself. Mm. Don't let anybody tell you what to do. Be yourself up there. Don't change a thing. And Jimmy knew me well enough. I used to go to dinner with him and his wife and with some other players. And that was great advice. So Jimmy Pearsall probably in that sense.
That combination of he and Harry Carey in the 70s doing baseball games was just insane.
Yeah, I heard about that.
I'm going to tell you this. He made Harold Baines a good outfielder. And Darren won't say this, but he had Darren under his thumb as well.
Really?
He'll tell you about it. But Harold Baines, another thing about Vin Scully, he could stretch out Dodger baseball with a bat. Dodge! You know,
right.
He had that bottom.
Right.
And, John Rooney was also a cadence count with Rooney. He wanted me, this is the way you're going to do this.
Yeah.
And worked with John for a long time before he went down to St. Louis. So he's always there for me to grasp something he said to me in key situations. Don't call it too fast.
Mm-hmm.
Call it on time and let the crowd tell you what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
How long have you been doing this?
I started doing this.
We were talking off the air. I grew up in Brookfield. I went to Riverside Brookfield High School, and there in Brookfield was the Roy A. Overholt Field and Babe Ruth. You pitched over there?
Yeah.
Where haven't you pitched?
Well, you know, as a kid growing up, Joe Porvecchio was my coach at St. Rita. Well, he had me in a farm system when I was 13 years of age, and I didn't know it. I was playing Connie Mack at 13. I didn't win any games, and then they put me at the Colt League at 14, and it was a joke. And at 15, I've never said this before, I wasn't good enough to play with the kids in the neighborhood. So I used to play by myself against the wall at the National Food Store at 79th in California. And I would nobody would play with me because I didn't know how to catch.
Yeah.
So my mom got me a rubber-coated league baseball.
Mm-hmm.
I threw it against the wall, and I found out that if I moved it one way, it bounced off the wall the opposite way. And I would run back and forth and catch ground balls. So I learned how to play. I wanted to be the best player in my neighborhood, and I was certainly one of those. Then I wanted to be the best player on the south side of Chicago, and I became one of those. And then I was one of the best players in the state of Illinois. And then I wanted to make the All-Star team for my friends who rehabbed me from rotator cuff. That's why I didn't have a goal to make the All-Star team. But they wanted to go to the game. It was sold out in Los Angeles, so I put down, I'd save 14 games in a half season with the Sox. So I said, I'll save 17 and a half season, and I got to be 5-1. So I wrote it down on a piece of paper. I looked at it each month from October of 79 into 1980. They called me a week before the All-Star team. Welcomed me. Lee McPhail called me. I had that piece of paper with me. I had 17 saves. I was 5-1. I got the win on Sunday before I went to Los Angeles. I was 6-1. I was leading the league in saves.
Not too bad, Ed.
I'd say you're
not too bad.
But if everybody has goals and you're stringent with that and you want to do it, you can go do it.
Yeah.
Darren, how old were you when you first had a catch? And that's not even correct vernacular.
No, it's Field of Dreams speak.
I know. Right? It's Field of Dreams.
Yeah. It's giving birth. We're just going to have a
shut up, Ed. You have a donut, will you? Let Darren talk.
What'd you do? Tell him to take
it? No, it's like the broadcast. I'm not going to get anything in here. I'm done.
I know.
Sorry.
How old were you when you first started really playing baseball and knew you loved it?
Well, didn't know I loved it till I was probably about 11 years old, but started playing in Little League at age 7, like most kids. My mom forced me. I had to go do something. And
unlike my kids, you stuck with it.
Well, I didn't want to, trust me.
Really?
At age 7, I'm like, I don't want to play this. This stinks. And then the next year, when I was 8, I said, I don't want to play. My mom said, oh, no, you're going back out there to play again. I'm like, oh, great. So the second year I played, it wasn't as bad. The coach was a little nicer, one of those kind of things.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I guess I'll go back for a third year. And from there, I started getting it. And so basically, and I talked to a lot of kids about that. When it first starts, you know, this is how it started for me. It's not the easiest. You'll figure it out about this age, probably. And a lot of kids, I've worked with some during the off season, and they're getting into that stage now. So, you know, just because it stinks when you first start doesn't mean a few years from now.
Sure.
Your parents know what they're talking about, folks. Listen, kids.
Solid
parents,
advice.
Just listen to them.
Solid advice. All right, hold those thoughts. Ed and DJ are here. We're talking about Sox Fest. It's Bill and Wendy. More of this in just a minute on WGN. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. Sox Fest is this weekend. We're celebrating with Ed Farmer and Darren Jackson. Guys, Barry Bonds, yes or no, should he be in the Hall of Fame?
No.
No?
No.
Ed?
No.
Nope.
He was my teammate last year I played.
Yeah.
Great.
That's why I shouldn't be in there.
Just for that.
I also want to say this about my partner.
Yes.
When you saw him play, there's a reason why he was drafted by the Cubs in a certain round.
Mm-hmm.
He could throw. He could get the ball in the outfield. And whatever Pearsall taught him, he took to task. They would hit the ball. He'd just turn and start running and go back and catch it and throw it in.
Mm-hmm.
So with him, you're getting a different dynamic of a regular player.
Mm-hmm.
Most guys aren't as skilled as he was when he signed and took that to the big leagues. When you look at the lineage of people that have played in the big leagues, that career doesn't make 5 years usually.
Yeah, right.
To get 10, you get a gold pass. Have you guys ever seen that?
Mm-mm.
I'll bring it to the ballpark. He's got one also.
Oh.
And you get free access to a ball game. Problem is, for him and I mean, it's not a problem. I don't want to say that. We never use the passes. Because we're working,
working
the games, yeah. But if you get hit with this pass, it's going to leave a mark on you. It's not as big a deal.
Isn't it strange though that the player with the most home runs of all time is not in the Hall of Fame? The player with the most hits of all time, Pete Rose, is not in the Hall of Fame. Roger Clemens is kind of on the fence at this point.
He's
Mark McGuire, you don't think he'll get it either?
I don't think he deserves to get it.
No,
the rest of us were playing on, you know, a cup of coffee maybe,
yeah,
and an aspirin to make sure we weren't sore.
Yeah,
that's about it.
What about the people who say there should be a separate wing of the Hall of Fame for players with tainted pasts?
The outcasts?
The outcast part of the Hall of Fame.
Where do you want to put that one?
Way in the back.
Do you want to build that wing? You know, New York, we're not going there.
Paramus.
I think the problem we have now, and it's hard for the people that have the votes for the Hall of Fame, is do you truly know who and who was not on steroids or anything else?
Yeah,
we know certain guys. I mean, as former players, we knew certain guys. You're like, whoa, this guy just blew up in 3 months.
Sammy Sosa, two words.
Yeah, I mean, we knew. Owners probably knew. But at the same time, not everybody. There are some people that when they failed a drug test, I go, what? Are you kidding me? I never would have thought of that guy. So it's a tough call. But, you mentioned Barry Bonds, and Ed and I both comment that he is probably the best player in the game when he was playing, period.
Mm-hmm.
So he was a Hall of Famer before that, but he's the clown that went out there and said, you know what? I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
He chose to do something that he shouldn't have been doing, and he knew it. He's not a dumb person.
Right.
But it seems by all means accepted at that time that there wasn't any drug testing for that stuff.
Right.
Even though it's illegal, period. So you shouldn't be doing it. It's illegal.
Yeah.
Unless, a doctor prescribes it. So
right. All
these guys knew what they were doing. And for me, none of them, if there's any knowledge whatsoever or thought, they shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. No.
If he was a more likable human being, would writers look the other way a little bit, do you think, or not?
Cheater.
No.
Hard to say? No?
I'd say no.
No? Interesting.
He had the talent. There's no question about that.
Remember, easily.
They call them designer drugs for a reason.
Yeah.
They're designed to beat the test.
Yeah.
So if you took a pyramid of molecules to make up that drug,
and
you take one of those cells out, it used to be that they tested it wouldn't test positive because it had a molecule missing. So probably had some impact on his delivery to the baseball, either throwing it or hitting it. But they knew what they were doing. They cheated.
And some poor guy who ate a poppy seed bagel got tested positive.
Right. Yeah,
right.
I was having a Dunkin' Donut a few minutes ago, and I got to go out there against the guy. Please. Yeah.
It's the 27th annual fan convention. A lot of people will be there. Single and two-day passes sold out. How about that? There are some available. SoxFest@ShySox.com. Darren, it's so nice to meet you. Ed, it's wonderful to see you again.
Yeah, I'll be back tomorrow.
Oh, God.
Are you guys working tomorrow?
No.
Not usually, but we'll come in if you're in.
I'm on your side.
Get a restraining order, will you?
Just remember, when you come to our ballpark, Wendy.
Yes.
We will have some Dunkin' Donuts, but we're going to go to the Shy Sox Bar and Grill right across 35th Street.
Oh, nice.
And they're going to cook what you want for our broadcast, and you guys eat with us upstairs. Oh,
that would be excellent.
Got it?
I got to do some fundamentals, too.
Sure. Well, you want to catch rounders?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Bill, Wendy, thank you guys. It's been a pleasure.
Great to see you guys. Thanks so much.
Let's go White Sox! Woo!
Absolutely.